Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are answering the question, can Satan torment people in hell? Now there are scriptures that indicate demons can torment those in the current hell, actually called Hades or Sheol. Now I don't believe it is actually Satan tormenting anyone in hell. The Bible does state that he accuses the brethren day and night before God, and that's in Revelation 12:10. Now since he has a kingdom, which is mentioned in Matthew 12:26, Luke 11:18, he would command his demons to do his mischief. You know, Wayne Grudem in Systematic Theology, page 414, said, Satan is the personal name of the head of the demons.
That makes sense. You know, Bill, also in Dr. Lester Sumrall's book, 101 Questions and Answers on Demon Powers, page 14 and 15, he said, the devil is prince of demons. It is very likely that Lucifer had under his dominion one-third of the angelic creatures.
Right.
Since one-third fell, right?
Exactly. Mentioned in Revelation. You know, Unger's commentary, page 703, states, the king of terrors, the chief of demons, the shepherd of the occupants of the netherworld. So that's interesting. So Satan has a kingdom, that's the point, and he would command his demons to do his foul play, his mischief, his tormenting, and so forth.
Yes, and you reference that scripture, I believe, in Matthew and Luke, where he did offer his kingdom, you know, all the kingdoms of the world to Jesus when Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tested.
Right.
Right?
And he's the prince of the power of the air. And so he has a kingdom. Jesus mentioned he
has a
kingdom.
And the God of this world, he's called in 2
right.
Corinthians 4.
Exactly. Okay, here's another scripture. Matthew 18:34, Jesus said, deliver him to the tormentors. Now the question is, who is doing the tormenting? Now, primarily, this is to do with the demons tormenting people in hell. However, we know that people can be tormented here on the earth as well. Matthew Henry's commentary, page 1709, says, devils, the executioners of God's wrath, will be their tormentors forever.
You know, that's true. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Right.
That's a scary verse.
Right, so we're not forgiven if we don't forgive.
Yeah, and I don't know why people struggle with demons tormenting people in hell because, I mean, look how many people are tormented by demons here on the earth.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And driven by demons, you know, and that's one of the keys with demons. They will drive a person to something. Right? Where
right.
God, his spirit always leads us, gently leads us.
Right.
He's never driving us, you know, Bill, and that.
You know, I want to bring this point out. You know, just as far as Matthew 18:34 goes, you know, some say, oh, that's just, that's not to do with hell. But most of the commentaries believe it is because of this also. And this is just a side note, but being delivered to the tormentors is mainly referring to hell because of the amount of debt that was owed. You see, he owed 10,000 talents, and a talent was 6,000 days' wages. So he actually owed 60 million days' wages. Okay, the point was you could never pay that back.
Absolutely.
You know, in Nelson's commentary, page 1175 states, the person the servant would not forgive owed him only one day's worth of wages. That's all he owes, one day, and he wouldn't forgive. The servant was forgiven 60 million days worth of wages. That's 164,383 years. So it's impossible to repay. Then the Believer's Bible commentary, page 1274, says about that amount. It says, Galilee's total revenue only amounted to 300 talents, and he owed 10,000 talents. So that Jesus' point was, you can never repay it, and so you're delivered to the tormentors forever. That's the point.
That makes sense. You know, that's why that verse, Matthew 18:35, is so scary. We need to forgive.
Right.
You know, I want my Father in heaven to forgive me.
Right.
You know, and that reminds me, Bill, 2 years ago when I needed to forgive a friend of mine, I remember that until I forgave her, I was tormented in my mind. You know, you constantly think about the incident, how the person has wronged you, what they did, how horrible they treated you. And I think at a certain point, then a demon starts like whispering in your ear and tormenting you, you know,
right.
because you're not forgiving, you know, and you can continue to justify yourself. But the longer you wait to forgive, the more tormented you are in your mind. I know that was the case for me. And carrying unforgiveness begins to rob us even of sleep. And I'm convinced that, you know, we can give access to a demon that will begin to harass our thoughts until we truly forgive that person from our heart.
I believe that too. Absolutely. So forgiveness is really a big one. That opens a door. If we don't forgive, that opens the door to demonic. So we need to be quick to forgive.
Yeah, that's really true, Bill. And we do it by faith. It's not something we're going to necessarily feel all those fuzzy, warm feelings all of a sudden for the person, but we do it by faith and trusting God to bring the feelings in a sense. And when we start praying for them, that really starts changing our heart too.
Right.
If we sincerely are praying blessings and God to bless them and so forth.
I'm going to get back to scriptures referring to demons possibly tormenting people in hell. Luke 19:27 says, "But those my enemies," this is Jesus speaking, "but those my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me." Well, the question is, who is doing the slaying? Matthew Henry's commentary, page 1653, says, "God does often, for wise and holy ends, permit the efforts of Satan's rage and suffer him to do the mischief he would, and even by it serve his own purposes. The devils are not only Christ's captives, but his vassals." That's just an interesting comment from Matthew Henry. You know, this next verse may support that belief also. Psalm 78:49 says, "He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them." So God is using evil angels here. So they may be the ones doing the slaying in Luke 19:27.
That's a good point.
That's a point.
Yeah, and Luke 12:46 says, "He shall be beaten with many stripes or beaten with few." Well, who is doing the beating? And also John Wesley in the parallel commentary, page 222, says, "For the executioners of God's vengeance are at hand, and when he at once delivers you over to them, you are undone forever."
So God's executioners. That's what John Wesley is saying. And Psalms 50:22 says, "Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there should be none to deliver." Well, again, who is doing the tearing to pieces? Matthew Henry's commentary, again, page 816, says, "Those who will not consider the warnings of God's word will certainly be torn to pieces by the executioners." Another verse, Job 33:22, "His soul draws near to the grave," and it's actually the word Sheol, which is not the grave. It's the word Sheol, "and his life to the destroyers." Again, who are the destroyers? Jameson Fawcett Brown's commentary, page 395, says, "Angels of death commissioned by God to end man's life." And then Unger's commentary, page 725, says, "Possibly referring to destroying angels or perhaps to demonic powers." Then Dr. Erwin Lutzer, in his book, One Minute After You Die, page 25, he said, "It is understandable that demonic spirits would await all those who enter eternity without God's forgiveness and acceptance." Demonic spirits would await. So,
yeah, and that, you know, that also goes along with, you know, a lot of the people's experiences that had legitimate experiences where they had a vision or near death and they actually got into hell. You know, they went past just traveling, you know, and there they actually arrived there and they all report the same things, demons,
you know. We're going to share a couple of those stories ahead.
Yeah.
Too.
And Dr. Maurice Rawlings, in his book, To Hell and Back, is one of those, has documented many near death or clinical death experiences. And he said on page 108, he was talking about a woman who was near death. And she was saying, "Devils are in my room, ready to drag my soul down to hell."
That's right.
You know, and another experience that Dr. Rawlings observed was Mr. Bartholomew. And this is in a nursing room or in his room, I guess, a hospital or nursing home. Yeah. And He was quoted saying, "They're coming again. They're prowling around over there, just waiting for me to die. Make them go away." He kept looking towards the window. I could see that no drugs had been administered. This is the nurse reporting, right?
No, the doctor.
Oh, the doctor reporting. And no fever. And a little later that night, he died. So right. There was an eyewitness to this. And this man was seeing the demons waiting for him to drag him off to hell. So how awful would that be?
Exactly. And then Dr. Rawlings again mentions on page 88 and 89, another man in the hospital who had to be restrained because, using his words, there were demons coming after me. The doctor also reports, now, according to Nancy Evans Bush, the president of the Lands Group at Yale University Medical Center, she said negative near-death experiences are indeed present, and she has collected about 50 cases. And the third group of these cases, they saw a vision of hell where people were being tortured or tormented. That was what she said.
Yeah, and there are many of these stories in books who state that they saw demons when they were traveling through a dark tunnel, saw flames, heard screams, endured putrid, rotting odors, and felt a terrible heat. You know, we have also met several people who have had a near-death experience and saw demons in our travels.
Right.
You know, and of course, one of the most famous books is John Bunyan's book, Visions of Heaven and Hell. And in his vision of hell, he saw many demons tormenting people.
That's right. And he's very credible. And another verse, Matthew 24, 51 says, "He will cut him in pieces and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, who will be cutting him in pieces? Who's doing the cutting? Matthew Henry's commentary, page 1746, says, "They that choose the world for their portion in this life will have hell for their portion in the other life. The body to the grave to be a prey for the worms, and the soul to hell to be a prey for the devils." And then Matthew 25:41 says, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So people are going to the same place as the devil and his angels. Again, Matthew Henry's commentary, page 752, says regarding this verse, "If they must be doomed to such a state of endless misery, yet may they not have some good company there? No, none but the devil and his angels, their sworn enemies, that help to bring them to this misery and will triumph over them in it. They served the devil while they lived, and therefore are justly sentenced to be where he is, as those that serve closest are taken to be with him where he is. It is terrible to be in a house haunted with devils. What will it be then to be companions with them forever? If sinners make themselves associates with Satan by indulging in these lusts, they may thank themselves if they became sharers in that misery which was prepared for him and his associates."
That's an interesting quote.
Right.
You know, Bill, when you were quoting Matthew 24:51, "He will cut him in pieces." You know, that reminds me too of, you know, there's got to be a demonic spirit behind people who cut themselves.
Oh, yeah, there is.
You know, who cut their flesh, you know, and also drive people to suicide.
Right.
You know, a spirit of suicide. These are evil spirits and they're real. And when a person opens the door to the demonic, and sometimes people do this ignorantly. I remember one time somebody wrote us and they were basically, you know, asking about playing with a Ouija board, and, you know, they had gone to a tarot card reader or a psychic, something along those lines. And basically, I answered back, you know, "I really encourage you to repent of this," right, "and ask the Lord to forgive you and cleanse you of this and renounce this with your own mouth." I mean, you need to do it with your own mouth and pray that, which will close the door to the demonic in your life. And the person got offended at me, like they thought it was okay and that I was being harsh or severe. But no, that's the power of repentance. That's a gift from God. We want to repent and close the door on the devil in our life or in our families, right?
Right, exactly.
Because that definitely opens the door to the demonic in your life.
And as far as the blood, you know, cutting and so forth, remember in Mark 5:4, the demoniac running through the tombs, it said he cut himself. So it points that out, that he often cut himself.
Yeah, there you go. Demons again.
And then when Elijah was confronted the 400 false prophets, he was calling fire down from heaven to burn up the sacrifice, see if the false prophets could. They couldn't. And it said they cut themselves until the blood gushed out when they were trying to call on their false gods to have fire fall from heaven. He said, go ahead, where's your God? Where is he? Let's see you bring fire down from heaven. And they were so angry, they cut themselves until the blood gushed out.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's demonic.
That's demonic.
You know, and according to the American Heritage Dictionary, the definition of hell is the abode of condemned souls and devils, the underworld place or state of torture and punishment for the wicked after death, presided over by Satan.
Right. Now, actually, God is the one who presides over hell, though. You know, Satan is there with his demons, but it's God that actually looks over it and so forth. You know, God assigns a person their rightful place in hell, as Revelation 21:8 says, Luke 12:46 through 48, and Matthew 24:51. So, in Revelation 14:10-11 states, they will be tormented in God's presence. So the people in hell are in God's presence.
Yeah, like God can look in on hell.
Yeah, it's not that he's actually there dwelling, but his eyes see everywhere. You know, and then Proverbs 15:11 says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. So he is the one presiding over it, in a sense, and he assigns a person their rightful place in hell.
That makes sense. Some will point out that Satan and his demons will be tormented in hell, as Revelation 20:10 states. So how can they torment others when they themselves are in torment? But remember in Matthew 8:29, where the demon asked Jesus, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?
Right. So he was asking Jesus, he said, hey, it's not my time yet to be tormented. What time was the demon talking about? In the future judgment in Revelation 20:10. That's what he was talking about. So they are not in full torment now, but will be in full torment then. But he was only in partial torment. Matthew Henry's commentary, page 1652 and 3, says, there is a time in which devils will be more tormented than they are, and they know it. The great siege at the last day is the time fixed for their complete torture. For the judgment of that day, they are reserved. They will then be made close prisoners. They have now some ease. They will then be in torment without ease. It is their own enmity to God and man that puts them upon the rack and torments them before the time. That was his comment.
That's interesting.
So in other words, they're in partial torment now, they'll be in full torment later, but they are able to torment people now in the current hell, or Sheol, or Hades is what it's called.
Yes, and then afterwards, at Judgment Day, then they'll be cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
So at that point, then everyone is delivered up, you know, from hell, including the demons.
Right.
Right, and then they're all delivered up into the lake of fire. So at that point, everybody's in torment.
Right.
Right,
they're all cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So they will be there, and all the people that's rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be in this place for all eternity.
It sounds so horrible. So, you know, you talk about degrees of punishment. So at that point, everyone's in the lake of fire. I'm only guessing because there's no scripture that tells you. But at that point, perhaps the heat of the fire is different for different people based on how God, you know, assigned their portion in hell or their degree of punishment. I'm guessing.
I'm sure God can turn up the heat, so to speak. You know, like, remember, they heated the furnace 7 times hotter when they threw
the three Hebrew boys
in there.
Yeah, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right. So yes. I'm sure God can turn up the heat, so to speak, and so forth.
You know, Bill, and some state that God would never let his children suffer in hell. But we all have to keep in mind that the people going to hell are not God's children. And if we look at scriptures like Galatians 3:26, John 1:12, John 8:44, Romans 9:7-8, John 17:9, Ephesians 1:5, and Ephesians 5:1, we can see that.
Right. They're not his children, the ones that are going to hell.
Exactly.
Jesus said they're of their father, the devil.
Yes, that's exactly right. And besides, you know, our Lord Jesus suffered a horrible death on the cross for those people in order to keep them out of hell. they chose throughout their entire lifetime to reject his free gift of salvation. And God gives opportunities to people over and over and over throughout their life. It's not like they just get one chance,
right?
You know, and miss it.
Right. Yeah, he's long-suffering. Most people live a long life, and they have their entire life that he sends people across their path. There's churches on every corner. You've got the Bible. You've got the gospel being preached everywhere. You got missionaries being sent. God even gives people dreams and visions to keep back their soul from the pit. That's in Job 33.
Yeah, and that's happening a lot in the Middle East
right
now.
So he goes to great lengths to keep people out of hell. It's their own rejection of the provision for their sin, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes, and that's why it's so important as Christians for us to pray for our unsaved family members, neighbors, loved ones, because our prayers are stopping, really, the devil from taking them out early.
Right.
So that they do get saved. You know, and because Jesus loves us, he gave us that free will to choose. Like, and you said, Bill, they pushed him away knowingly.
Exactly. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the only way to heaven. So if people would repent, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless a man repent, you shall all likewise perish. So repentance is a requirement for salvation. And if people would humble themselves, admit they're sinners and they need a Savior, ask God to forgive them and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then he will come into them and dwell in them and save them from this horrible place called hell. And that's our part. That's what we have to do. Now, I believe the scripture is clear that those in the current hell can be tormented by demons, but most likely not at all in the future lake of fire.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.